Quer canhete, Zé?
Yes, there are 220 people.
Good afternoon, everybody. So now, this time, Kembo Gelig asked me to speak a little bit about the life of Buddha Thupten because tomorrow, the full moon of the what we call the 12th Tibetan lunar month of the Tibetan lunar calendar. Which is according to ancient calendar system, especially according to this burn, the system of the Sutra of the burn, falls the first month of the spring. So therefore, this month is considered to be the first month of the year. So therefore, many parts of the Tibet and also Himalayan regions still people follow this system. So therefore, many people, many community Himalayan who lives in the Himalayan regions of Nepal or India and many parts of Tibet, quite a big major part of Tibet, actually people celebrate Tibetan New Year in this month, beginning of this month. Now already 14 days ago, today is the 14th, so tomorrow is the 15th, the full moon. So Tibetan New Year has been celebrated. And then, however, now many people get a little bit confused. I would like to clarify a little bit. While majority nowadays Tibetan people celebrate New Year next month, you know, this after now from today 16 days later after. So why there are so different you know time we celebrate? So this is nothing but only difference is the different way of calculating and the calendar system. So therefore, birth of Buddha Thupten occurs only one time, of course, obviously, not two times, or not even three times. So, of course, only one time. But then some monasteries or some areas, birth of Buddha Thammachara is celebrated in the normal, what we can say, common conventional Tibetan New Year, which is the next month. And while some other monasteries or other places celebrate, observe birthday of Buddha Thammachara this month, so precisely tomorrow, the full moon of this month. So this is also just a different system of calendar. It is both case, generally speaking, birth of Thammachara occurs on the full moon, which is the 15th day of the first spring month of the year of what we call Shimbochewa, wooden mouse, wood mouse year in Tibetan, Shingji, wood mouse year, and Dawa, Chindarawa, the first month of the first spring month. So there are 12 months in the year, and each month is the 12 month is divided by four seasons. So therefore, first spring season has 3 months. First 3 months is a spring month. Spring, we saw Chindarawa, Dingbo, Tama. That means the first spring month, middle or second spring month, and then last spring month. Similarly, first summer month, middle summer month, and last summer month. First autumn month, middle autumn month, last autumn month. First winter month, middle winter month, and last winter month. So now question is, what is the first, when the spring season starts? What is the spring month, or first spring month, month? What the first spring month is? Now this is according to Buddha Thammachara's biography, hagiography, longer version, Timesiji, 12 volume, and even middle version. So, and then many ancient other ancient calendar system, spring month, this 12, this what we call 12 month now, following the normal calendar. This month is also known as month of Jal, Jaldawa, month of Jal. Jal is one of the 27 constellations. There are 27 constellations that circulates day by day. Each day it changes, and then so therefore, of course, each month, full moon of the each month, of course, occurs different constellation. For example, last month can be one constellation, and then this month. So each month, Karma Jal can be, this Jal constellation can go to different, days. So it can be today, it can be yesterday, it can be last month, so anytime. However, there are certain constellation that falls on the full moon. It is not necessarily it can be on the full moon always, but that can fall on the full moon only one for unique month, only unique month. So therefore, This month is known with the name of that constellation. Therefore, for example, Karma Jaltu, this month, this 12th Tibetan month, whether you consider it as a 12 month or first month or 11th month, 10th month, doesn't matter. This cycle, we can say, doesn't change. So, Karma Jal, this Jal constellation can only uniquely can be on the can fall on the full moon of this month, not any other full moon, other month. So, this month is not necessarily always have full moon, the karma jal, but if jal falls in on a full moon, it should be this month's full moon, not other month's full moon. So therefore, this month is called jal dawa. So therefore, in the sutra, the biography of the Tomashiram and many other ancient calendars, defines the month of the Jal. Jal Dawa is the first Chidarava, first spring month. So therefore, regardless of how Tibetan, common Tibetan calendars, consider this month as last month of the year, or past month, or the 11th month of the year, doesn't matter. Following this text, and this ancient system and the Do Jepa, we call the extensive version of Buddha Dhammacharya's biography and middle version. Following this, then Jal Dawa is this month. So therefore, we consider this is the spring, first spring month, Jaljir. So this, when we do calculation, Tibetan calendar, astrological calculation, always it happens, it is verified. So of course it is not only new thing that we have these two kind of like ideas or opinions on this, only not this time, since many generations there was this two opinions was there. So therefore, there people also follow differently. So then why Tibetans celebrate New Year next month, which is known as also Gyalpo Losar, the Losar New Year of the kings, aristocrats. So like this is considered that it has its own different story. So we are not going to go this story. It has many different story, historical and political, different kind of the stories is connected. So while this month is this, those who celebrate New Year this month, they call it this Sonam Losa. Sonam is literally, Sonam is the farmer, farming. So this is Sonam Losar means the Losar of the farmers. Basically, this is like ordinary people's Losars. So basically, this is the what originally how people follow the calendar system, since ancient time. So people, ordinary people, celebrate this. So while the others, while Gyalpo Losar, king of Losar of the king, this is has different reason. So, that is the why following this calendar, Yonzi Rinpoche, he himself was a great astrologer, and his teacher, Kongrupa Sonrimjanze, was a great astrologer. And following his teacher and their ancient many other great astrologers, so Rinpoche did many times verified, he himself calculated from now on going like what we can say 18,000 years back, like the going back, and then he calculated as the time was at that time. When calculating the calendar, so today this calendar exactly falls the what it is. It kind of like comes to agreement what it is mentioned in the biography of Timesigi and Nosermik, the middle version of biography. Therefore, Yonzirimuchi particularly took importance to observe to this system, following this system with the Tobashirap, so that we can keep. It is not like a matter of competition. Sometimes people take this as a like competition. It is not matter of competition. Oh, we do this system, they do this system. Then trying to convince the others, oh, this is not right, that this one is right, or that one is not right. It is not. Those that is many other monasteries, they celebrate Buddha Tobashirap's birthday next month, like conventional month, so that they have that tradition. So there's nothing wrong to do that. While when we do follow this following this observing this system is not something Rinpoche invented, So this was already existed many generations back in the many other old ancient monasteries. So Rinpoche not only just he himself was an astrologer, so he did his own calculation, so he was convinced. So he thought it is good and auspicious to keep this tradition alive. So therefore, Rinpoche decided to celebrate, observe this Buddha Tobashirap's birth on this day, so which is tomorrow basically. So in the monastery, in our monastery there, now 2 days puja we perform. Today they do start it, and now tomorrow is the main day. So that is the reason why Rinpoche does, to keep this tradition alive. So otherwise you just say something you find in the text, but then you do something different. So Rinpoche thought this is not so difficult to keep this. So you just keep, observing. So people remember every time. So it is important. And also it is, Rinpoche thought it is a great auspicious, occasion to remember Buddha's life and his teachings, and then to engage oneself in whatever way possible in the practice, spiritual practice, to avoid avoiding engage with the certain negative actions, and to make oneself, one's body, speech, mind, as much as possible, engage with some virtuous action. So that is the reason why we observe not Buddha's birth, and also we observe day of the Buddha's parinirvana, day of the birth of great masters, day of the parinirvana of the great masters. They are considered to be very, very special, having special effect and power for multiplying the benefit of whatever virtuous action we perform. At the same time, also there is a power of multiplying whatever negative actions we one would one might engage. So it becomes like power effect becomes much more stronger. So therefore, this kind of special occasion, it is strongly advised by early masters, especially in the following Dzogchen Yangtze Longje, Lishitaring, in the Dzogchen Yangtze Longje, and also Tangden Munsingrema. This is where the prayer of Buddha Tobashirap comes from. Tangden Munsingrema is the the teaching taught by Lajit as a going to a preliminary practice for the Namgya Chunje, which is like a commentary of the Dzogchen Yedi Thassil. So in all these texts mentioned and suggested that it is important to keep engage oneself with a spiritual practice, of course, dailyly, regularly, but especially on this kind of special occasions. You know, usually we call each month we call Nya. Nya literally means a full moon. You know, Nya is the full moon, and then this Nya, this is also used for other part of the moon. Also, this is basically the like full moon is the full moon, and then 8th day is the half of the full moon, you know. From first day to eight is the half, one quarter of the month. You know, this is Sewadje, 8 days. And then full moon, this is one half. And then another quarter of the third, you know, fourth, is which is 22nd day. And then the fourth, the new moon, the 13th day, new moon. So this is four parts, like quarters, quarter, quarter. So each of these special day, like eighth day, 15th day, 22nd day, and the 30th day of the month, each month is considered to be Nya also. Of course, main Nya is full moon, but these are also considered to be very important. So therefore, traditionally, still it is, you know, in the villages, in the people, when they wanted to do something, good things, virtuous actions, they try to do it on these special days, you know. So even if one is not able to observe certain kind of like disciplines, you know, practice observations, like for example, not avoiding eating meats or drinking alcohols or doing any other bad actions, you know, non-virtuous actions. One observe in these special days, it considered to be more effective. Power will be more effective. It is more powerful than if you do this ordinary, normal, you know, day and times. And then especially the birth day of the birth and parinirvana of the Buddhas, enlightened ones and great masters is considered like what we call hundreds of thousands of multiplicity of the power. So therefore, we observe this. That day we pray, we try to keep ourselves as much as possible aware of the practice, engage, doing prostrations or circumambulations, lighting butter lamps or incense, or making any kind of like smaller or bigger offerings, whatever, you know, externally. Then, of course, internally, doing meditations, you know, contemplations, whatever, whether you do meditation on the refuge, bodhicitta, or guru yoga, natural state, or the generation, they're contemplating the Idam deities. So, whatever, you know, depending on what you follow, what practice you know, what is your main practice. So that is the background, a little bit why we do this. So tomorrow is the full moon. It is very important day for us. And so tomorrow, as a birth day of the Buddha Thubachara, we remember him and his teachings and his advices, and we pray to him. engage with the refuge and Guru Yoga with Buddha Thobashirap. And remember his teachings, all these things, and then engage ourselves as much as possible. So here tomorrow we have program of doing Malam Thaya prayer, and then also usual this chok offering, Garam Puja offering, usual way, like every full moon we do this. So we have this program. So anybody have time and opportunity, it would be great to join. I think the Zoom will be open, so everybody can come. If you cannot come to Shenzhen, you can come on your computer, your mobile phone. Very easy nowadays. Yeah. Okay, so that is the background. Now, to speak a little bit about Buddha Thobashirap. Now, this is a little bit complicated. So now, first I will read again as a transmission, or also to read. We all can read together. This prayer of Buddha Thobashirap we just read. So this is right the beginning part, you know, homage part of the Trangden Munsetrima. When Lajit Tembalamga said this teaching, he said this on a very special occasion. So there is a separate long story about this. So he was Tembalamga was young, a young boy, and then as a young boy he said this just by heart, and then he continuously said this whole this discourse of the Trangden Munsetrima at that moment. So this began by this prayer to Buddha Thobashirap, which is on the basis, you know, recalling the Buddha's life and his enlightened qualities. So therefore, so first year says, Tumbe jalbo Togi damda soke mechepo, senda peche tembe zepapo, kawa nazo tangdo lanne ni, zepa nazo taro chi zeching, zekze ye dang gongze chungi ki, chamba chimbe kurwa dron zepa, shirab chulpi kula cha cha loos. Now to whom Tembalamga paid homage is shirab chulpi ku, the body of emanation. So basically, shirab, the emanation, chulpa. Tulbiku is we call tulba. Yes, usually we call tulbiku, tulku. You know, everybody knows tulku. There are nowadays there are many tulkus. Some are successful, some are not very successful. But who knows? Even it looks like they are not successful. Maybe they are doing great, kind of like how to say enlightened activity. We never know. So we have to have pure perception. So anyway, now this usually we say tulku, there are normal tulku, and then there's a special tulku we call choki tulku. Choki tulku means a supreme body of emanation, you know. So the very idea of tulku emanate, you know, even the is comes like usually when we get a rebirth in the samsara. What is the cause? You know, there should be a cause to get rebirth of, you know, whatever rebirth you take as a human or animal or any other being. So ordinarily, samsari way, the main cause of our rebirth is what we call leta nyomomba, karma and emotion. You know, afflicted emotion. Karma and afflicted emotion. Le and Nyomoba. Basically, they are different. You know, I will not go all details of this again, otherwise it whole time goes that. Le and Nyomoba. For example, we accumulate karma or action, or karmic, our imprint, by the influence of different kind of afflicted emotions. So action is one thing. Okay, if you say something, a word, if you, it can be like just neutral, or it can be a harsh one, or it can be a very gentle one. So depend, you know. So depending on this, what kind of word you say, it can bring effect, you know. It may hurt somebody, or it may make feel somebody happy, you know. It may do nothing, you know, just. But then when you say this word, also it's you say this word or action mostly influenced by, you know, under the power of certain emotion. You know, you say this due to influence of the desire or jealousy or anger or just ignorance out of having no idea what make what you know this word can, you know, bring consequences. So out of ignorance, we say something, we do something, many things. Then all actions are lay, all the lay are not necessarily negative action, negative, you know, karma. Karma is negative karma and positive karma. You know? So all the negative karmas are influenced under all the karmas that under the power of negative emotions. Then how did negative karma or positive karma? Positive karma, we do good actions with a good intention. Yet, even if you have good intention, good positive the actions, they are still influenced under the power of the ignorance. So therefore, this is what we call karma. If karma, even if it is a positive, it is due to your ignorance. There's a influence or kind of, how to say, based on the ignorance. So therefore, this becomes the cause of samsara. So therefore, ignorance is considered as a cause of samsara, you know, root of samsara. So if there is no ignorance, no karma would be accumulated. If the karma is not accumulated, there will be no result or consequences caused by the brought by the karma. You know, so therefore now ordinary person, we take rebirth, we have all these experiences due to our karma and emotions. But then how the Buddhas come to the earth, our world, you know, in the form of human? How the great Bodhisattva or the highly realized beings, you know, who are already who have gone beyond, you know, under the control of the ignorance, so that they don't accumulate, they don't have any more, you know, accumulation of any karma. So what brings them to rebirth? You know, what is the cause of their rebirth? You know, so now this is the idea of whole concept of the tulku. You know, this is the Buddhas or even not Buddha, highly realized beings who have already, you know, gone beyond the control of the ignorance. They come to samsara, what we call sabshindu sibalemba. So they take rebirth, they with their own power, not by the power of any other, you know, karma or things, with their own power, with their own awareness. It is not that now, where should I go? I don't know. So we would, even if we would like to take certain rebirth next life, but we have no power. We may wish to reborn, to be reborn in certain better places, but we may not, because we have no power. Even this life, we wish to have many things, we wish to be different kind of things, but we cannot become, you know. So because we have no power, we may have wish. We sometimes even we wish to be a very nice, good person, somehow we cannot become. We try to be become. Somehow we end up with not a nice person. Sometimes, you know. This because of our power of the emotions and our habit, you know, our tendency, karmic tendency. This is very powerful. Now Buddhas and highly realized beings, they don't have to go through such power. So they have their own choice. So therefore, now they take rebirth to the earth in order to guide sentient beings, to help other beings, you know. So they manifest in different kind of forms. They can manifest in a human form or any other forms of the beings or any other situation. Now, Chogyam Trungpa, especially this supreme, enlightened body. So this is considered to be when we talk about this each, you know, when we talk about enlightenment, three kayas, Pongu, Dzogchen, Tulku, you know, Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya. When one become enlightened, so becoming enlightened means basically the ultimate state of enlightenment is the Dharmakaya. Now, Nirmanakaya and Sambhogakaya are like a reflection, you know, reflection of the Dharmakaya. So, depending on their, what we call their own prayers and bodhicittas that they have generated, they had generated. So while we are in the on the path, in the training, so we always pray and we generate bodhicitta, saying, aspiring, may I attain Buddhahood, you know, this very moment, in order to help all the sentient beings. So very purpose of attainment of the Buddhahood is to help other sentient beings. So that is the main principle, you know, intention of a practice of great vehicle we call Thekpachimbo. Without bodhicitta, we cannot attain enlightenment. This is very important. So therefore, now that therefore we do a lot of aspiration, prayers. You know, always at the end of the practice, we have this Goa in Malam dedication and the aspirational prayer. May I attain Buddhahood for the help, the benefit of all the sentient beings. Beginning of the practice, we always generate bodhicitta. I am entering to this practice. I am entering today this practice, engaging with the practice on the occasion of Buddha Thoma Sherpa's birth. So You can say in order to develop my practice, in order to progress my practice, in order to realize my have realization of the natural state of the mind. But for what? Is eventually so that I can be helpful, I can help and guide all other sentient beings. So that is the purpose. So therefore, the main cause, that brings Buddhas to take rebirth, to we can say manifest, to emanate in the form of the human or in this earth, is their bodhicitta, we can say their compassion and the aspirational bodhicitta that they had generated during their when they were on the path. So it is like result of the bodhicitta, emanation, spontaneous emanation of the manifestation of the Sammagakkhaya and Nimanakkhaya is like a result of the bodhicitta and compassion. So there, that brought, that is the thing. So the Chogyur Trungpa is especially the supreme one, is considered to be this Nirvanakaya of the among the three, of the when we count the three kayas. That is Chogyur Trungpa. So now here, that is how, whom we Tamalanka paid homage. I pay homage to Sherab. Sherab in this context is Buddha Thoma Sherab, who is the supreme emanation, body of emanation. Now, that is the homage. Now, why we pay this? Why we pay homage to Buddha Thoma Sherab? Why we remember Buddha Thoma Sherab? So we remember, considering and remembering and knowing all his enlightened qualities, enlightened activities, enlightened paths that he went through, and then enlightened deeds that he performed for the guidance of the future sentient beings. So now, therefore, now here talks about a little bit referring back. Now, so the one thing is now when we talk about Buddha Thoma Sherab, now modern time everybody is tend to think everything scientifically, historically, which means like something like physical evidence, like we would like to see this or that, something like that. So it is a little bit difficult when we talk about something very spiritual. So everything cannot be, how to say, demonstrate. Or you have to get yourself a great experience, then that would be the best demonstration. So anyway, now generally speaking, as you all know, there are different opinions, different point of views about the birth date of the Buddha Thoma. Date is difficult to speak about the date and the place and all these things. Very different opinions, different kind of like point of views, following different text, following Timesiji, Dosenbik, and Dondup. Basically, traditionally, The TMCG, there's an extensive middle, medium, and short version of Buddha Thomas Sherrup's biography or hagiography is the main reference point of what when we talk about Buddha's life, what he did, what kind of activities he's done. But then, not only that, then we can find little bits and pieces in different texts. You know, of course, all the texts are connected to Buddha, so there is you can find many different the stories or the teachings and his deeds. So now, traditionally speaking, Buddha Thomas Sherrup was what we can say born into a place known as Omoluring. And then we can say, according to the traditional, now we talk about more than 18,000 years, you know. Among these 18,000 years, 8,200 years is actually is considered to be his lifetime. Because Buddha's 1 year, Xie year, is according to the these text sources mentioned as a, like equivalent to 100 human year. Now this is interpreted in a different way. Some interpreted it literally, which means 1 Xie year is 100 human year. So when Buddha Thomas Sherrup become 1 year, that means he's 100 years already. 200. So that's that. Considering this, then he lived 82 Xie years, basically. He passed away. He went to Parinirvana on the 82nd years of age. So that this 82 Xie year is considered as 8,200 years. You know, that makes big difference. So anyway, now this is a little bit historical part. So he was born like this. Anyway, that means 8,000. Eighteen thousand, how many years? Over 100 minus this anyway, 8,200. It become 200 plus 82. It becomes like 9,800. Now this year maybe 44 or 40 something. In 40s. This is the Parinirvana of Buddha Thomas Sherrup. So basically, Buddha Thomas Sherrup lived 9,000, over 9,000 years, you know, ago. So then, of course, more kind of like recent scholars, they have different opinions. Some considered like 3,000, some considered almost 5,000, like less than 5,000, over 4,000. Anyway, this is different. All different scholars, they calculate it in different way. So, following the Buddha, the traditional counting, we still talk about 18 over 18,000 years. So anyway, that is the. Year, the year of his birth is anyway Shimbochiwa, the wood mouse year. Month of his birth is Jaldawa, month of the Jal constellation, which falls the this month. And then day is the 15th full moon day, and the day is a Thursday. That day becomes Thursday. So Thursday combined with this karma jal, jal has two parts, like jalto and jalme. Jalto is basically when it is count, it is count as the separate. Jal itself is jalme, and napso, the constellation before the jal is napso. That is jalto. So he was born on that napso. So combination of this napso and the fulbu is considered to be a very, very auspicious, we call Dubjor auspicious, combination of the star, the constellation, and the day, the Purbu Thursday. So on that day, Duisuji Tangbo Namlangmas, in the first, now in the 24 hours, day and night, we divided this also in the 12 time, frames. So first one is Namlangbo, Namlangba, Namlangyu, which is like daybreaking time, which is after that very dawn, before sunrise, basically, dawn, and then little bit light, day breaks, and then sunrise. So daybreaking time, basically, before sunrise. Sunrise is another, second one. So that is the time of his birth, and he was birthed to his father was Yab Jalbun Togar, his mother was Yum Yuchi Jalshema, who were the father was king of the Mu. He belongs to Mu clan. Mu is the one particular clan, the area. And then he was the Jalbun Togar was the king of this kingdom. So that is how situation of his parental, and his date of the birth. Now considering about whereabout of Olmoluri, all these things, this is a little bit complicated to say. So anyway, according to the text, it is set according to traditional text following. So it is described to be as very special place, like a place where how to say, we can say like not everybody can go easily. So it is so yet it is still according to the text, it is described to be connected to the our earth. So nowadays many people think this center of this is as a the Mount Kailash area, and then some others don't agree, and it can be further west north further no, northwest. Further northwest. So anyway, one of the very important thing is we talk about Hiangsu. Hiangsu is considered to be very ancient kingdom, which is the place of the where the burnt teaching was once greatly flourished, and civilization was very rich, and which has its own script and everything, and it is so ancient time Hiangsu. When we describe the territory of Hiangsu, it was very large, so therefore it is divided into three kind of like divisions. We call Xiangzhou Fuba, Xiangzhou Parba, and Xiangzhou Goba. Xiangzhou Fuba is the innermost Xiangzhou. Xiangzhou Parba is the middle Xiangzhou. Xiangzhou Goba is the doorway, gateway Xiangzhou. It's more like out, kind of frontier, kind of like Xiangzhou. So, many early sources describe Xiangzhou Puba being the Dazi Omoluri being the Xiangzhou Puba. So therefore, Omoluri is considered to be part of the Xiangzhou, but Xiangzhou Puba. Xiangzhou Parba, it says Dazi. Dazi, now again, people have different opinions. Dazi. So ancient Persian countries, ancient time, are all considered as a Dazi. And then Xiangzhou Goba is the now modern time, now the presently western part of Tibet, western part, and then many further north and western part, and then go to the east, like up to Xielejangga. Xielejangga is the in the in Kham, Chungbo Rinzai is the Zedong, where the Zedong monastery is, very famous monastery. So this mountain is considered to be like one of the landmark of the Xiangzhou Goba. We call Xiangzhou Goba, Xielejangga. Jimshu, it's also known as Xielejangga. So it is very large. So when we talk about Mount Kailash and all this area, of course, these are the Chulung area, is the was the more main, center capital. But historically, capital of Xiangzhou changed from time to time. Different kings' time, they moved to different places. Famously, there were like 18 kings of Xiangzhou who Charuche means with a Garuda horn. So apparently, they may have in their crown, they have this certain horn of Garuda. So, which is considered to be very kind of like dignity, signifies. Like nowadays, Pombo, on the top of the Pombo stupa, you can find, three, looks like Trishul. The middle one is a sword, and the two others are like horn shape. We call Charu. Charu is the horn of the Garuda. Horn of the Garuda. The center one is the sword, and then middle sword stands on a one ball like this. This considered is a wishful feeling jewel. So, even on top of the temples, ancient time in the mandalas, you can find a description on the top pagoda, or top. There's a Chungur Chungo, hot head of the Garuda, and then the very pagoda itself, it's like a shape of the Chungkur, like Garuda's feather, like pupil, what do you call feather? No, wing, like being like this shape. So many of the Pombo temples and mandalas, we have that structure. And then on the edge of the feathers, often you can find a Garuda head. Of course, commonly you can see Makaru's head, Makaru, no? Makaru Chusi. But for Pombos, we uniquely we have description suddenly like head of the Garudas. So somehow this Garuda's head is considered to be very auspicious and a symbol of dignity, sign of dignity. So therefore, ancient time, kings or even the great masters, they on their heads or on the crowns, they have that symbol. Yeah. So this Chenrezig, so there's 18 kings of Xiangzhou. They changed their place from different place to different time. Sometimes Mount Kailash, Chulalongkorn, Gukha, sometimes in the Ladakh area, sometimes in very, very important thing is even in the Nepal side, in the Mustang area, there's a different, also different time, there are different names of the castles and zong, we called like Mustang area, ancient time is called Sirip Rungmo Zong, Sirip. So even people call some part now. So anyway, now this is a little bit about whereabout and how we define Omoluring. So there are different point of views. So generally, it's considered to be the part of the Xiangzhou Kingdom. So still. So anyway, now we can read a little bit. Already, time goes very fast. Translation, we can read once slowly. In English translation, I think this translation is very good, done by John Reynolds, I think. Tembi Jalpo, Kurwa Tembi Pal, King of the Teachers, Glorious Guide for Samsara. So, King of the Teachers, why we say king? Because there are many teachers. Teachers, in this case, spiritual teachers, you know, teachers who give teachings, who shows the path to enlightenment, you know. So, early time, we call Temba. Temba means a teacher, spiritual teachers, especially. I don't think ordinary teachers are called Temba. Temba literally means one who shows. Tem means to show, you know, to show, to reveal. One who rebels or reveler. So what rebel? Tembijabo. So he is the king or the supreme among the teachers, because he was the one of the Kaldong Sangje Tonsanyi. So following Phobos tradition, in this aeon, there are 1,008 Buddhas to come to guide sentient beings. Usually, when we talk about Kalpa, Kalpa or the aeons, there's a Kalpa called Vimikalpa, means dark Kalpa of darkness, and Dvimikalpa, Kalpa of light. Kalpa of darkness is considered the Kalpa, the aeons and the ages, when there is no Dharma, no teaching, and teacher of the Dharma is available. So beings are completely, totally kind of like untouched, out of this Dharmic real, like spiritual, you know, opportunities. And then Dvimikalpa is the Kalpa aeon, the age during which the spiritual teaching and teachers are available. So Dvimikalpa. So Dvimikalpa now, each different ages, different time period, different Buddhas to come. So following Buddha's Bambo, 1008, we called Kaldong Sangje, the Buddha of the thousand aeons, you know. So one Buddha comes to guide sentient beings, or when they come, different times. So 1008 Buddhas to come, among them Buddha Thoma Sherpa, was the eighth one. We are just beginning. That's a good news, I think. So already seventh Buddha has passed. Now he is the eighth one. Now future Buddha called Buddha Tobatamamedu is the ninth one. So now this Buddha, maybe this is interesting for you. Of course, there are Vimikalpa and Dvimikalpa, light kalpa and darkness kalpa. So about the light kalpa, now when the beings are in the they can live like a hundreds of thousands of years, their life, lifespan. At that time, there was a Buddha, the first among the nine first Buddhas, Tobarabgu, Tobanawaranjung. So Buddha, name of the Buddha was Tobanawaranjung. So this he came when the sentient beings could live hundred thousand years of lifespan. So and then when the sentient beings lived 80,000, no? 80,000, then second Buddha, Korwakunde came. And then when the sentient beings could live like 60,000 years, at that time Toba Kyushin Nyumon Toksik Buddha, he came, the third, And then when the sentient beings live, can lifespan was 40,000, Toba Legpa Tukje, the fourth one. And then when sentient beings could lifespan was 20,000, Toba Chamba Tijal Kukba. There was for sixth. And then when the sentient beings' lifespan was 1,000, and that was the past Buddha. When we talk about three Buddha of three times, past Buddha Tojaeje, present Buddha Tobasharap, future Buddha Tamamedu. So now this is the time of the sentient beings' lifespan is like 100 years. So 100 years is kind of like normal lifespan. Some may can live longer than a little bit more than 100, some may less than 100. It is in the 100 years. But basically, according to the calculation, astrological calculation, so our lifespan has already been shorter, less than 49 years. But somehow we still live this more than that. So anyway, and then future Buddha, when the sentient beings' lifespan become like 10 years, Tselujuba and Buddha Tamamedu will come, future Buddha. So that is called to nine Buddha, Tobarabgu, the nine first Buddhas among the 1,008 Buddhas to come. So Tobasharap. So therefore now Tumbijalpo, why we called Tumbijalpo, king supreme among the teachers. There are many teachers. So he was one of the main, guiding, age, with Kaldo Sangye, guiding, Buddha of the of Korwa glorious guide of samsara. So this everybody knows. Vimisolo and he is the light of lamp which vanishes the masses of darkness. Light of lamp which vanishes the darkness of so What is the darkness? What is the darkness? In us, our darkness is ignorance. And then all the associated emotions, these are the darkness. We become confused. So, in order to vanish this darkness of ignorance, we must have to have the lamp, lamp light. What kind of lamp light we need is the wisdom, light of the wisdom, light of the awareness. So this is what usually always Buddha's teaching and early masters always the our own awareness and the wisdom is personified as light. So this is the inner ultimate light. So Buddha Tumasharap is one who is like a light of the lamp. He himself, he brought the lamp. He brought the light in every sentient beings through his teachings, through his enlightened activities, so that the darkness of the samsara and darkness of the ignorance and emotions are vanished. And so thereby they get, they set to the path of liberation. So, chief among the physicians who remove torment of illness and ignorance. Again, similar. Now consider again Buddha's teaching. Buddha himself said, the sentient beings who are suffering with these all kind of negative emotions, and suffer are like a patient, sick person, and their negative emotions, ignorance, and all these things are like diseases. Now the all the teachings and practices are considered like the medicine. The teacher and the spiritual teachers are like physicians. This is how often in the teachings we say we have to consider ourselves as a patient. Our negative emotions and all these disturbing emotions are like our disease. And the teachers are considered to be like a physician. And the teaching and practices are like medicine. So one should consider in this way, one should listen and also consider this, rely oneself in this way to the teaching. So now he is the Marignan, like chief among the physicians. There are many, many different kind of physicians, but he is like a chief among, because he is the one of the guiding Buddha, like a pioneer, pioneer. So one who started. So in our age, that doesn't mean before there was no, because before him there was already seven Buddhas was already there, enlightened, they did. So now this age, he came to guide. So he's among the chief among the physicians who removes torment of illness and ignorance of our negative emotions and karmic defilements. Marignan, and the king of the Mu clan, who of course come to the as a in a form of Mu clan king, but he was born as a prince. And Mu clan is considered to be very pure kind of like a clan and superior among men. So superior among men in this case doesn't mean one is superior than others in ordinary sense, but superior in the context of the ability and their knowledge and realization, so ability to guide and realizations that he had achieved. So it becomes like superior among men. So if you practice and following Buddha's path and practice and you have the realization, so you will become the superior among the men. It doesn't mean like from the beginning. Sometimes people talk too much about, because in ancient time there did exist lot of kind of like we called class kind of systems. But this is not the case. So on the basis of one's, what we can say merit, we can say merit basis, one becomes superior. Naturally people, naturally it is, even if you don't agree, it is superior, you know, so it doesn't matter. So that is the thing in terms of the realization and ability. Then he, the masses of great flame, is like a great flame, you know, that dries up the lakes and swamps of the five poisons. It is like that, you know. Our negative emotion, samsara is considered like a big kind of river. Kurvichuo, we say. Sometimes we say Kurvijanso, the ocean of samsara, so deep, so vast, not possible to, you know, to eliminate. Not easy. So samsara is so, and then it is like swamp also, same time, very messy, very dark, and in order to dry such thing, you need a strong fire if you want to dry. So now this is metaphorically is like a big flame, you know, that can dry up the lakes and swamp of the five poisons, five negative emotions. Now exalted in splendor, having all the marks and characteristic of enlightenment. Now this usually Buddha's special signs of enlightenment, we called major signs and minor signs. Like 32 major signs and like 80 kind of like minor signs. So these are his, this can be some are some correspond to his appearances or physical appearances. Some correspond to his, of course, characteristics and qualities, inner realizations, many things. So, of course, a lot of enlightened qualities or things. We don't need to count all these things. If you want, you can find out in the text. There is a detail. Now this is very important. Is you bring about the ultimate realization of various deeds by means of the four full measures of seeing and the six full measures of the intentions. So now Kawanazo is a Buddha, not only this time. Now, according to Bon tradition, Buddha Thoma Sherap, when he displayed the 12 deeds, looks like he was first born child, and then he himself developed, and then got married, and then become, you know, how to say, left the house and practice, and then become enlightenment. But Buddha was already enlightened. This is very important aspect. So we say before becoming the among the candidate of the 1,000 Buddhas, you know, they are already among the candidates. He was many lifetimes back. So before becoming such enlightened, he went through all the difficulties of, you know, various we call karma tangmesum the tosa tangmesum the dibajang. So like according to the sutra system, Traversum de Tsosa, like three kind of like countless kind of like aeons. They accumulate merits, you know. Three kind of aeons, they purify their negative emotions, you know, defilements. And then many lifetimes, you know, aeons and aeons. So therefore, Buddha Thamasharup's biography, when you read Buddha Timesiji, there are most of them are the many stories that is connected to his past lives, you know, how his this time his disciples, his even including his parents, his disciples and people surrounding there in his field of his guiding fields are connected to him in by what kind of karmic connection he was. Then he tells about story in the past, many, many eons back, and such place, and you are called such and such place. I was there, sometimes enemy, sometimes brother, sister, sometimes parents and children, sometimes, you know, unknown, sometimes maybe merchant and clients, maybe different things. And then, you know, sometimes the strangers encountering and having some connections. All these stories are very interesting. So all connected, and then he recalled now, because of due to that, you know, reason, now we gather here. So talks about through this, all through this discourse, basically talks of, about the law of karma, how karma functions, how karma brings, you know, connections or disconnections between the people, you know, how, what kind of action brings what kind of consequences. So sometimes when he go to guide certain beings who are very deeply tormented through the by the different kind of disturbances, and then when they ask why I am suffering, then he talks about in the past this and that, you are like this, you did it, this and that. That is why you offer now, because of this and this reason, now you will get free from this and that. So then he gives teachings, advice, and following this, they can get better. It's like that. So therefore, Kāwana is so he went through the very different kind of difficulties in the past. And then finally get enlightened. After having enlightened, and then through these 12 deeds, Zepanazotaru, so he, what is that? You bring about the ultimate realization of various deeds. So now, when we talk about deeds of Buddha, commonly we talk about 12 deeds. Then Buddha Thamasharup's deed was actually quite often in the major texts talk about like 60 deeds. Zepasumja took you like 360 deeds, depending how you categorize, you know, like that. So through this, various of deeds are realized, whatever way you count, basically through different skillful means, and he performed deeds. All his deeds that he performed are not only for his sake, for the method as a means to guide other sentient beings, you know, his disciples to the path of realization. Chamba Chembe, now this talks about his before coming to the earth, human taking rebirth in the human form. He generated, he had these four measures of seeing and six measures of intention. So now, this is like this. four visions of seeing is, so now when he want to take rebirth, where, what kind of place he took rebirth, what kind of parents he would have, what kind of wealth he would have. So each has different purpose and different reason. So he he saw, kind of like foreseen, foresaw. So there's a very details why he was born in human. Why not he was born in Devaram? Because Devaram is considered to be better realm than human. But why he chose human? So then he explains many different reasons. So Omoluris, first Sigma is Omoluris. One of the foreseeing is, so he saw the Omoluri as the place where he would born. Khal Parbosoje, what kind of palace? The Parbosoje. What kind of father? Jalbotogar. What kind of mother? Yochijajima. So this, he choose father, parents, he choose the palace, he choose the place. He explains there is a big reason for each of these. Gongze Truk Cheba, now the six intentions. Lo Zambulila Gong, he intended to be born into the Lo Zambuling, this continent, southern continent. Tiwa Mila Gong, and birth, a human birth, because human is the most potential birth, so that is why. Rigyarigong, and then as what kind of clan he born, he intended to be born in the clan belonging to the kind of royal clan. No Rinpoche ter, wealth like Rinpoche, precious kind of wealth. Tenpa Pewa Gong, and then intention is to spreading the teachings. Droa Dwar Gong, and another intention is to guiding the sentient beings. So these are the six intentions of his rebirth. Okay, Zigzeji, now Chambachembo is the great loving kindness. You bring about the liberation from the liberation of all beings from the samsara with your great love. Of course, all his deeds, whatever performance he performed, this performance, it is mainly, we can say, how to say, the powered by loving kindness and compassion. Chambachamba. So powered by the loving kindness and compassion, he guide all the sentient beings through the to the path of liberation from the samsara. So therefore, I pay homage to Shirab, the Nirvana, Nirvanakaya, or the supreme, emanation. Shiratubikula. So now I think we can stop here. So basically, this prayer is very, very nice, wonderful prayer. So Yonzi Rinpoche suggested to us all. So he started to say this prayer, beginning of every teaching, So we are saying this. So whenever we say this prayer, we should remember Buddha Thoma Shirab, and not only is remembering him, so remember his all his deeds and skillful enlightened activities, and most importantly, his teachings. Sutra, Tantra, Dzogchen. So he teaching of Sutra consists of all the monastic discipline, Vinaya teachings, all these things. Tantric teachings, there are external and internal Tantra. And then Dzogchen teaching, final deeds he give Dzogchen teaching. At the last, then he said, even, of course, from ordinary life, he left the house. He become at the age of 31, become ordained himself, ordained, and took his robe, these six robes, pieces of robe that we use now. So it's normally it is said that it came bestowed by the wisdom deities, divine, he has received as a CD. And then he put this on and he threw all his normal clothes and ornaments. And then he took ascetic practice following the Vinaya, the observations of the vows. And then after some time, then he even at that time, so only those who are closer, who are most closer, are surrounded to him, and not ordinary people. But after some time, even he left all these his disciples. Only one disciple who used to be his the Chapalari, the demon who causes this challenging. And at the last, he become convinced and he become a great disciple. At the last, only Chapalari, he was allowed to follow. Other rest of disciples were even not allowed. And then he was dedicating practice of the Dzogchen. Yeah, and then last was of course, Parinirvana. So that was a little bit about the overview of Buddha Dhamma Sharaf's life. So when we now, when we main thing, when we talk about the life of Buddha, any kind of things, people immediately try to look on the map and try to find the. On the maybe Google Map nowadays very easy to where I can you can set your address and then to go to there, but this is not Yonzi Rinpoche usually says it cannot be reached by buying a ticket. So you have to practice, and that would be the best way vehicle to reach there. But anyway, so this can be different point of views. External, usually teachings are described in the, there's a different way to observe, seeing things, external way, internal way, and secret way. External way, even in the mandala, you can see external mandala, internal mandala, and secret mandala. Secret mandala is nothing secret, but is this is innermost thing, most inherent, most inside us, so that we cannot see it. That's why it become like secret. But otherwise, this is more closer than external mandala. External divine, internal divine, secret divine. The secret is considered, we usually think secret thing is the most hidden. Oh, I cannot. But this is the most closest one, actually. External are more distance, but we see that first. And this becomes the means to really to reach to the our innermost. So now, when we talk, pray to the Buddha, it's the same. Now, Buddha, historically, they came, they did what they have to do, and now they passed away. Physically, not there. We cannot expect anything physically, Buddha. But their presence is not, never been away. The presence of the Buddha is their essence of the Buddha is their knowledge. Their aspect of their Dharmakaya aspect of their being, which is being within us all. So remembering Buddha, through remembering Buddha, and his deeds, we should connect, we should try to discover, recover, rediscover our inner Buddha. Yeah, like visualizing Tapirica, doing Guru Yoga with this, we try to reconnect and rediscover our real inner Tapiriza. Yeah, so that is the reason. So therefore, I would like to encourage all of you who are on site and online to make a little bit more effort for tomorrow to practice, say this prayer of Buddha Toma Sherap again and again. If you don't have one, maybe Cedric can send everyone this prayer, maybe online right now you can put so people can download. And then from now on, it would be good if you say this prayer as a daily prayer. Every day you can say one time at least this prayer and remember Buddha Toma Sherap. So it would be great. And the composer, the one who said this prayer, is a great master, Lajit Tepalongkor, whom we always connect, whose teaching are always we practice, we follow. It's very lively. It's not only story. Teaching of Tepalongkor and these are, we are just engaging day by day, you know, generation by generation. So these are very, very precious, and the occasion is very precious occasion. So I would like you once again to feel yourself appreciated, and feel yourself lucky and fortunate, so that we have this all this possibility and opportunity. Okay, so with this, I would like to we can conclude with the dedication, and then tomorrow we shall do the prayers. Gozo da begewa kajeba kazoze jenaje tedogo tozo za belede gejane gozo bezaje yordojo. Thank you.